Good morning. Thank you, Johan. Thank you very much, worship team. It's an awesome time in God's presence this morning. Can I carry on? Okay. Thank you very much for having me this morning. It's really always a great privilege for me to be here. And we at Century City, we really love you guys. I don't know each of you personally, but I really love each one of you. We love working together with you guys. You've probably seen Yaku quite a bit more often than you've seen me. And I always giggle a bit because I often have people coming to tell me stuff about me that I didn't know they knew. Because Yaku likes to tell stories about the kids and I when he preaches, and that's fine. But I just don't always know because I'm usually not there when he's preaching. I'm usually at children's church or something. So I don't always know what you guys know about me, so I hope it's all good. Reyna and Leon are not here this morning, but we really love them very much as well. They're very deep in our hearts, and I'm just always so astounded by what they do and the gifts that God has placed inside of them. And then they will say stuff like that about us, and I'm thinking, why? But that's the beauty of the body of Christ. We all have something different to bring, and not only us and Reyna and Leona, but each one of you. Each of us have something that we need to bring, and we are part of Christ's body, and we need each other. And we can only be a healthy, functioning body if we each bring our part. So I just really want to encourage you in that as well this morning. You probably also know that we have three children. Gustav is 10 years old, Samuel is 8, and Lucy is 5. They are lots of fun. They help us to learn a lot. I always have to say this at the beginning of my courses as well. I'm not here because I'm a perfect parent, really. I've made many, many mistakes. I'm actually here because of all the mistakes that I made. God used a very difficult time for us when we became parents to really place a passion in our hearts for parents and for parenting. So that's why I'm here today. I still make many mistakes, but I've learned some things along the way. And the greatest reason that I'm here is because I'm passionate about this. So that's why I'm here. I don't know how many of you know Hetty Brits. She's the founder of Evergreen Parenting. And her heart is really also a passion to see families rebuilt and strengthened. So everything that she does, all the books and courses and talks are aimed at that. And by extension, that's why I'm here as well. I also have a passion to see families rebuilt and strengthened. So I hope that that's what you'll experience this morning. And I really represent Evergreen with great pride and confidence because I so strongly believe in what they stand for and what they do. And I would really love to invite you to our course that's starting next weekend. It's going to cost you money, and it's going to cost you time, and it's going to cost you energy, but it is absolutely worth it. I'm very confident to say that. I'm not a salesperson at all. It's like the last thing I want to do in my life, but I'm very confident to say that it's going to be worth every minute and every penny that you pay. So please join us for that. We have had many people that do not have children, that are not even married, attend our course. So those of you in that position, you are also very welcome. God has always done amazing things in their lives as well. So please join us. If you have a notebook here today, please write down a few things. What I really want you to write down is if God just shows you something that you need to have a look at in your family or in your home today. If anything that I say makes you feel overwhelmed or despondent, I want you to know that that is not my heart at all. Okay, I don't know where you guys are at. I don't know how things are looking in your home. Sometimes it's pretty chaotic. We've been there. And perhaps you just feel like everything needs to change. But I don't want you to feel like that this morning. I'm really trusting that God will just show you what are those few things that you can do today or tomorrow that will make a difference. Okay, we can't change everything at the same time. Some of us would really like to change everything at the same time, but it's usually not possible. So we just trust God to show us what it is that we can do today. Okay, but before we get going, let's just pray together. Father God, I just want to thank you that each of us is here today, Lord, because you have purposed for us to be here, Lord. There is a reason that we are here, and we thank you that you have something to show us this morning, Lord. No matter where we are, where we come from, where we're at the moment, Lord, you have an appointment with each of us today. We have an appointment with the Almighty God this morning, Lord, and we just open up our hearts to you, Father, and we just surrender our agenda and our will and our plans to you this morning, Father. Perhaps we have come with a certain expectation of what we want this morning, and we even come and lay that down, Lord. And instead, we come with an expectancy, Father, for whatever it is that you want to do in our lives and in our families this morning, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you are so committed to us and our families, and that we can trust in you because you are trustworthy. And we just thank you and we give you the glory and the honor this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this morning we're going to be talking about a framework for healthy families. But just before we get into that, I just want us to have a look quickly at the definition of parenting. In the parenting course, we have 7 root truths. And the first one is that parenting is a discipleship process. And the fruit thereof might not be visible for many years because there's no shortcut to maturity. Okay, so first of all, it's important to understand that we are discipling our kids. So if you don't know that, that's important to know. You are discipling your children whether you like it or not. Okay. And then the second thing that's important is that the fruit of that discipleship will take a long time. We're not always going to see it immediately because there is no shortcut to maturity. Okay, we all know that we live in a McDonald's culture today. Everything we wanted to be done yesterday, it must be instant, it must be quick fix. But we need to get our heads around the fact that that is not true of parenting. There aren't shortcuts in parenting and there aren't quick fixes. They might look like quick fixes. But there aren't, okay? It's something that takes time. Just like each of us are not completely mature yet, we are also still being discipled. It takes time, and we need to understand that. So everything that we talk about this morning is in that context. I can't give you quick fixes this morning. I want to give you some tools and principles to help you in your families and in your homes, but they're not quick fixes. Okay, and then the definition of parenthood as discipleship is the purposeful shaping of a child's thoughts, decisions, actions, habits, and character to become a self-controlled adult. Okay, so sometimes we think we are just shaping our children's actions, their behavior. We just want their behavior to change. But actually, we need to disciple all of those things. So, for example, if our child believes or thinks that they have the right to disobey our authority or disobey us, who are the authority figures in their lives, if they don't agree with what we say, then that's a wrong thinking that we need to disciple. What's going to happen then if they believe that is that they are going to decide to disobey us, and it is going to lead to an action of disobeying or being rebellious towards us. If that behavior is allowed to continue, it's going to form a habit in their lives, obviously. They're going to be in the habit of disobeying authority and rebelling against authority. And eventually, that is going to become a permanent part of their character. And the question is whether they really are mature then, if they still have this ugly character trait when they are adults. And when we look around us today, there are many adults that are still really children. They're big, but they have not matured. So we need to think about that. All right. And in that definition, it says there that we are intentionally shaping our children. Now, shaping implies a process of a bit of pain. I think you might notice. There is always pain in shaping. We have all been shaped by the Lord. Maybe we don't remember the shaping when we were kids. I do. It was painful at times. But even when the Lord shaped us, it's usually not nice. It's usually unpleasant and uncomfortable, but it's always good. Okay. And we as parents, we cannot always choose to take the road of least resistance with our children just because it's easier at the moment. In the parenting course, we talk about having a long-term perspective, and we need to have that long-term perspective. What is our definition of self-controlled maturity? What is the kind of adult that we want to raise? Otherwise, how are we going to know what we are aiming for? So we as parents need to sit down and say, what does a self-controlled mature adult look like? What is our aim with our parenting? Because otherwise, how on earth can we set to work if we don't even know what we are aiming for? And it's very important to think about the fact that our child is one day going to be someone else's husband or wife. or someone else's parent or someone else's employee or employer. And if that scares you, then you have something to work on. Okay. And that's that long-term perspective. Okay, so that's just to lay the foundation of what we are doing and what we're talking about. And everything is in that context, okay, of discipling our children, having a long-term perspective, and what does it mean to disciple our kids. Okay, so we are going to start now with the... Can you guys all see? Should I move? Is it okay? We are going to be looking at what we call in the parenting course the 5 R's. And what this really is a framework or a support structure for healthy growth for our kids. And what is so nice about this, it's quite practical, and it helps us to avoid having to apply vicious discipline to our kids. It helps us to just avoid a lot of things. Like you can see in this picture, our children are a bit like that floppy plant. Okay, they're soft and they're supple, and they easily fall over, and they can easily grow skew if they don't have some kind of support to grow up against, like that lattice in the picture. So what happens if we don't have that kind of structure is our little plants keep flopping over, and we keep having to pick them up, or they grow skew. And that is reactive parenting. That's homes where there's a lot of shouting and a lot of moaning and a lot of threatening and a lot of punishing all the time, because we keep picking them up when they fall over. But what we can do instead is that we can put that structure in our home which will prevent a lot of that stuff. And that's proactive parenting, where there are positive expectations in the home. And then the pruning becomes a lot less necessary. Because what happens is if we don't support our little plants, and eventually they grow so skew that even discipline doesn't help anymore. Even the pruning that we do doesn't help anymore because they've grown so skew. And it is our job as parents to make sure that our homes provide that support structure for our children. We must provide it so that our little plants can grow up nice and strong. Okay. Okay, so the 5 R's that we're going to be looking at is respect is the first one. Then rituals, which is really traditions. Okay, it's just a nice R. Roles and responsibilities, routine and rules. Okay. And as I said, these 5 R's can save us a lot of trouble in our home if we put them in place. No matter how crazy things are going, we can make our homes a place where our children would rather be than anywhere else. Okay. So the first one we're going to look at is respect. And what respect does in our home is that it provides safety and security. Okay. Our kids are not going to feel safe and secure if they can be shouted at, if they can be called names or teased or hurt by their parents or by their siblings. There needs to be an atmosphere of respect in the home so that our children can feel safe and secure. The ways that we respect people is we respect their space, their property, their time, and their human worth or their dignity. So we're just going to look quickly at all of those. Perhaps just practically a few things that you will often find in homes with small kids. It will be stuff like knocking before you're entering, especially in the bathroom. Don't know how many of you have that. Ask if you want something, if you want to borrow something or use something from your sibling or your parents or your kids, actually, to actually ask them if you can do that. Speaking respectfully to one another, giving someone the opportunity to have some time on their own. If mommy doesn't want you to sit on their lap right now, then you need to respect that. If she wants to finish her cup of coffee, you need to respect that. Staying off a sibling's bed or out of their room, some simple things like that. Okay, so the first place is space, respect for people's space. Now, in the parenting course, we talk a lot about temperament. I don't know how many of you guys are aware of the 4 tree types. Perhaps some of you have done tall trees, it's similar. So we talk about that quite a lot in the course. This plays a large role in this. Some people just have more need for personal space than others. Some people have no personal space. They like to be as close as possible. So that's just a temperament thing. But not all children like to be tickled or kissed or given a big bear hug. They need a bit more space. Kids sometimes like to have their own bed or their own room or their own chair. And we are the same. You know, we might feel that way about our car or a special armchair in the lounge or even our bathroom. And that is normal and that is healthy. And we need to respect these boundaries in other people's space and allow our children that space to show respect towards them. People also need space to be themselves. Okay? Often our children are very different from us. And if we don't understand these temperaments and so on, then we can very easily think that there is something wrong with them, especially if we think we do everything right. Okay? We can think that our kids, we need to shape them so that they look like us. Okay? And they often experience disrespect when everything they do is either frowned upon or laughed at, or we try to discipline it away, because then they get the feeling that, you know, who are they supposed to be and who they are is not okay. And so we want to give each person in the family an opportunity and the freedom to be who they are. Okay. And that's why we need to understand this unique design. We talk about a natural inborn design, and that is what temperament is. That's what God has made us to be, to accomplish what he has called us to accomplish. Okay. So you will find out more about that in the parenting course. We need to see who our children are. We need to understand how they've been made and what their strengths and gifts are, and we need to shine our light on that. In the school system today, mostly, there are exceptions, but mostly in school, we focus on academics and we focus on sport, and kids are rewarded for that, and kids are, you know, noticed for that. Sometimes there is focus on character or arts or whatever. But there are children who are not strong in these ways, and often they are made to feel like they do not have value. So it's very important that we help our children to see what God has placed inside of them and what their strengths are. I think there's a picture on there, the next one. It's just one of our products. It's not very clear, but you can download it from the website. It's a character chart. And what's so nice is that when your kids display certain character like kindness or thoughtfulness or helpfulness, there's many, some things you won't even know were there, then you can take them to that and say, wow, you were so helpful today, and you were so considerate, you thought about your sister as well and not only about yourself, and it just helps them to see that there is something inside of them as well. And you know, if we really think about it, I don't know how many of you have kids that are in school already, but there is a lot of pressure to get our kids to perform in these other areas. And it's very easy to fall into that trap. But I would much rather my child have a strong character than be strong academically and in sport. And you are going to be faced with this challenge, but we need to remember what is really important and what we really want for our kids. We want self-controlled, mature adults one day, not kids that, you know, get really good marks and are really good on the sport field. That's a bonus, okay? All right, the next slide is just a quick, I'm not going to go through it in detail, but this just shows the four basic temperament type that we talk about. The first one there on that side, he would just like a little bit of peace, maybe have a nice long bath by himself. The second one likes a little bit of control over the environment. They would like to put their ducks in the row before they get out of the bath. Their socks must fit properly, and they like their sandwiches cut in triangles. Okay, so they just like things in a certain way. Today, yes. Maybe it's squares tomorrow. Yeah. The third one likes a little bit of limelight. You know, they like to have fun, and they want everyone to look at them. Look at me, look at me. And then the last one, he likes to be the boss. He likes to be in control. He wants to manage the tap. So you might recognize your kids there. But just the point that I want to make here is that each of these have certain basic needs, call it love languages if you want. And we need to understand those so that we can show respect towards those needs. Okay, if we are constantly telling them, you will not touch the tap, then they are going to feel disrespected because they really are quite responsible and they can handle it, even if other kids their age can't. And we need to give them the opportunity to prove that. If we keep telling that little clown there in the middle to sit down and keep quiet, they're going to experience disrespect for who they are, okay? Then by that, I'm not saying that we always have to let them do what they want and they're always going to have all their needs met. We'll talk about that in the parenting course. But we do need to understand that because they will experience disrespect if we're constantly trying to turn them into something that they're not. Okay. Okay, there's just a few products. I'm not going to go through them. I have a table at the back. If you guys want to come and chat to me afterwards, we have some fantastic products that can help you. Those are all the temperament ones. And then lastly, I just want to say that we need to accept not only how different our kids are, but everyone around us, perhaps our spouse as well, and learn to appreciate those differences. We actually teach our children about the temperaments, so they know what tree type they are and what tree type we are, and we have very interesting discussions about that, because then they can also understand how people work and what their needs are, and they also learn to appreciate each other. All right, the second way that we show respect is by respecting other people's property. Often with small children especially, a lot of our focus goes on sharing, doesn't it? Okay, and that's an important trait to learn, but sometimes we miss the flip side. We have two children that share a room, and at one stage, you know, they would get toys and stuff, and eventually everything would just end up in a big black crate, and you know, we didn't even know whose was whose anymore. But then we started having problems with that, and we needed to sort it out, and we just realized that, you know, we also have certain things that we don't share with everybody. Our spouse, for example, we do not share with everybody. And if I go to a friend's house, I'm not going to try on an expensive piece of jewelry that her husband bought her for their 10-year anniversary or whatever. There are certain things that are precious to us and that we don't share with everyone. And it's the same with our children. And just because that precious thing is a rusty old car doesn't mean that it's not precious to them. So we also need to teach our children to show respect for those things. So they need to ask each other if they want to use each other's things, if they want to play with them. We started doing that, and our kids have to ask. But then what would happen is as soon as they, one is playing with, say my eldest asked the second one if he can play with something, then all of a sudden he wants to play with it because now he doesn't want to let his brother have it. So we had to sort that out as well. This doesn't all go smoothly, by the way. Okay, it takes time to get into it and to practice it and to teach our kids those things. But the principle is that it's teaching our kids about ownership and about respecting their own property and the property of others. Okay. I think that's all I wanted to say about that. Yes. Okay, another way that we show respect is by respecting people's time. Okay. Some of us are better with this than others. We make people late, we make people wait, we hand in work late and we expect it to be marked immediately or whatever it may be. We often show disrespect for people's time. And we obviously firstly need to set a good example to our children if we want to teach them to respect people's time. But children from a very young age can already learn to respect these time boundaries. One of the rules that we're going to be talking about later is that there is a time for everything. And our children can learn that. You'll say things like, now is your bath time. This is our play time now. This is mommy and daddy's coffee time. This is mommy's food making time. They can learn that there are times for everything in the house from a very young age already. Is that funny, Suze? Food making time. This is all of us making food time. Yeah. Okay. And if your child is used to having all your time and all your attention, then changing this is going to be painful at first. But it can be done. Okay. Sometimes our children really do think that we were made for them. We were made for them. We were made to play with them, to spend all our time with them. Mommy is there for me. But they can learn to respect those boundaries, and they need to. Because life is full of these boundaries, and they are going to experience it all the time, and they need to learn it from a young age already. Remember that long-term perspective that we spoke about. It might be okay for now, but is it going to be okay one day when they're adults and they go out into the world? All right, and then the last way that we show respect is for people's human worth or for their dignity. And this often comes in the way that we communicate with people, how we speak to people and how we listen to people. And this always makes me think about when we stop at a traffic light and there's someone that is asking for money or whatever. I'm sure none of you do this, but often you see people, they just look forward and they just pretend that the person is not there. And we can still say no to that person, but we can do it in a way that still shows respect for that person and value for them. So we can still say no, but we can do it with a smile while looking him in the eye, because that communicates that we value that person and that they have value. So it's really about communication. And so when it comes to our children, it will be stuff like body language, it will be our tone of voice, that kind of thing. Obviously, in our homes, things like swearing and hitting and verbal and abuse and that kind of thing is not okay. And our children will not feel safe if they are staying in a home like that. But what about cell phones? What do we see these days when we are talking to somebody? This is how they look usually. Okay, we all do it, and that's how our children often see us, is looking into a phone. Now, I'm not saying that we must never look into our phones, but we really need to think about this. What I will sometimes do with my children, if I need to send a message or something, then I will just say, just hold on, I want to look at you when you're talking to me. Let me just finish this message. And then I put the phone down, and I look them in the eye, and I turn my body towards them so that they know that they have my full attention. And this is not only with our kids, this is with everybody. It's just something to think about. In the parenting course, we also talk about the three voices. We talk about the mean voice, the moaning voice, and the mature voice or the calm voice. Okay, and we really can have the mature voice in our house all the time, or most of the time. Okay, we can teach our children that we will not listen to them when they speak to us in one of those other voices. At one stage, we also talk about manipulation quite extensively in the course. And we teach our kids what manipulation is. So we'll say to them, what you're doing now is manipulation and it's not going to work. And so they quickly learned what is manipulation and what's not. So at one stage, we called this little moaning voice the manipulation voice. So then one of my children will come to me and they'll say, Mommy, can I please have a cookie? Now that might seem like they're asking nicely, but depending on which child it was, I would either just ignore it or I would just say no. And then they'd realize what was going on. And then they'd compose themselves. Mommy, can I please have a cookie? That's the normal voice. Okay, so it's very subtle, but it's important that we recognize those things. Don't get me started on manipulation. That's my pet topic, and I don't have time for that this morning. Please come to the parenting course. I have so much that I want to say, and there's just not enough time, so please come. All right. So, yeah, if our kids get worked up and they're shouting at us, and sometimes it's us that get worked up and that start shouting, then we all need to go and calm down, because it breaks down the relationship when that is how we are communicating. Say to you, I don't want to shout at you right now. You go there, I'm going to go there. We're going to calm down and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about this, okay? Because it just breaks down our relationship. All right. Okay, so just to say again, our children must feel safe and secure at home. Okay, and that's what respect does. If we have respect in our home, our children feel like they can be themselves, they feel safe, and they feel valued. And that's why sibling rivalry also really needs to be addressed in the home. It is normal, it happens everywhere, but we can't just let it go because it's normal. We need to address it so that our children know it's not okay if my sister or brother teases me or calls me names or hits me or kicks me or bites me or whatever it may be. It's not okay, because then they're not going to feel safe if that's allowed in the home. So we do need to address it. Okay. All right, the second R is roles and responsibilities. And what this does, just a reminder, we are talking about a structure that we want to put up in our home to help those floppy little plants to grow up straight, okay? So that is what these things allow our children to do. It just makes it possible for them to, for us to not have to be picking them up all the time. If these things are in place in our home, then it helps our children to just grow up a bit straighter naturally. Okay, right, so what roles and responsibilities do is that it gives a sense of value to each member of the family. Okay, if we go and visit somebody, perhaps for the first time, depending who we are, you know, you might just sit most of the time and be served and they'll be doing everything. But the more comfortable you get in the home and the more times you go there, you might start helping out. You know where to get things out of the cupboard. And you feel more at home, don't you? Well, I certainly do. when I'm a part of the family and I can contribute to what is going on there. And it's the same for our children. It's the same in church, okay? When we are helping out, when we are part of what's going on here, we feel at home and we feel like we have a sense of belonging, okay? And everybody in the family should be contributing to the economy of the family, whether it be in time or in money or in energy. We are all contributing to that economy. And small children need to have jobs in the home, not only for themselves, like brushing their teeth and making their bed, but also jobs that serve the rest of the family. Okay, and if your children don't like that they have to do a few jobs in the home, then what you can do is just make a list of all the things that you do in the home, and then you ask them if they still feel like they're doing too much. Then they'll quickly get the picture. What this also does when we have roles and responsibilities for our kids is that it teaches them responsibility, and it gives us the opportunity to teach them responsibility. But this does take time, and it is hard work. But again, we need to keep that long-term perspective in mind. We as parents often do things ourselves just because it's quicker and easier, don't we? Or perhaps we have someone working for us in the home or in the garden, and we just get them to do it. We're anyway paying them. They're just going to do it much faster. But our kids might not have somebody working for them one day. And remember that we are raising someone else's husband or wife, parent, employee, employer, and we need to train them now so that they are equipped for when they get to that time. Just when it comes to responsibility, we also should not be paying our children for everything that they do. Okay, they can be paid for certain jobs. But just like in our lives, there are certain things that we do for money, and there are certain things that we do without getting paid. And so our children need both of those elements in their training as well. And just an aside there, when it comes to money and teaching kids about money, make sure that you don't do anything with your kids that doesn't apply in reality. Okay, so whatever it is that you're doing, make sure that's how it works in the real world as well. Otherwise, they get into habits that, just bad habits. And then another important thing is do not routinely do for your child what he can do for himself. Azon was saying this morning that Joshua got dressed all by himself this morning. She's like, oh, you can. I says, yeah, now he must do it every morning because he can do it. So I'm not saying you can never help your kids, but don't routinely do it for them, okay? Because then we keep them dependent on us and we keep them irresponsible, all right? And if you really battle with that, if your child refuses to eat by himself unless you feed him, then please come to the parenting course. We will help you with that as well. Okay. All right, then just quickly, the next slide, just on teaching your children responsibility. I'm not going to go through it in detail, but whatever you're teaching your child there, they've got washing dishes, so I'm just going to use that, but it can be teaching them honesty. It can be teaching them about doing homework, about studying, whatever it is. First of all, we need to set an example for them. We need to actually do what we expect them to do. So if we don't wash dishes, it's going to be a bit harder to expect them to wash dishes. Then we are going to tell them what to do. Okay, we're going to instruct them. We're going to show them how to do it. We're going to train them. That's the one that takes a lot of time. We're going to check in. We're going to follow up. How are they doing? Maybe they need to put in some more soap. Maybe they need to rinse it a bit better. And then we're going to give them feedback. So this is just very quick. We talk about it more in the parenting course as well. But this is discipleship, okay? So we don't just tell someone once what to do and then we expect them to be able to do it. It takes time. All right. Okay, next R is rituals or traditions. And what these do in our home is that they provide a sense of unity and team spirit in our home, in our family, and also just precious memories. Those are those things that when you think back to your childhood, you say, we always did this, or we always went to this place on holiday, or we always did this on a Friday night. Okay, now, perhaps some of you don't have those things, and then I really want to encourage you to start some, to think of some things that you can do as a family, to create those precious memories that perhaps you didn't have as a child. And it doesn't have to be even a weekly or monthly or annual thing. It can even be once-off stuff. Just stuff that you as a family are going to have fun doing together and that your kids are going to remember and that they're going to talk about for years to come. Just a few ideas. A great one, of course, is birthday traditions. What we do in our home is whoever's birthday it is gets up and they come and sit in our bed. And there's always cake for breakfast. Great excitement in our home. So there's always cake. We get the cake and the gifts ready in the kitchen. And then we come into the bedroom singing for them. And we eat cake together and they get to open their presents. And then each member of the family prays for whoever's birthday it is. So that's our one. The kids absolutely love it. They check, is there definitely cake for breakfast tomorrow? And so that's just a precious tradition that we have. It can be things like going to the same holiday spot every year, celebrating special occasions or achievements with a special meal or in some other way. We did a baby night once where we had all our children's baby photos and we had those 3D scans done before the time. So we had that on DVD and we told them about what happened when they were born and funny things that they did when they were small babies. And they absolutely loved it. So that's quite a nice idea. You can put each child in bed a different way every night, something that's precious to them. They will always remember. And importantly, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Okay, some of these things do cost money, but it doesn't have to. We just have to be a bit creative and think of special things that we can do as a family. Probably the most valuable family tradition that you can have is to have a family night. We do ours once a week, but you know, do it once every 2 weeks, once a month if you can't manage more than that. Choose a night that works for you. We do Friday nights. We always have something nice for dinner that we wouldn't have normally. There's always pudding. That also gets checked up. I'm very excited about what we're going to have for pudding that night. And then we will do different stuff. So sometimes we will play games. That photo, which is very squashed, was us walking through the streets in the dark with headlamps on. We just went exploring. My husband's very creative with this kind of stuff, so we've had treasure hunts and all kinds of things. Sometimes we'll just watch a movie together. We do different things. But it's a weekly time where our attention is just all there. We're all together as a family. So it's really a great family tradition. And then the last one that I just want to mention is story times. Reading together for your kids. It's very simple. It's low energy. For those of you who don't have a lot of energy. And even my 10-year-old, he reads thick novels, like in 2 days. He loves reading. He reads all the time. But when we sit down with the kiddies' library books, he's right there because he just loves it. And, you know, if your bodies are close together, your hearts are close together, it's just such a great time. So I encourage you to do that as well. 20 or 30 years ago, say, the term quality time was a phrase that we didn't even use. We just spoke about time. But now that our culture has changed so much, we really have gotten so busy. And often parents will ask, you know, if I only have 5 minutes, what can I do with my kids? Research that was done a few years back showed that the average, now I don't know the details of the research, so please don't ask me that, but the research showed that the average American dad spent 3 minutes a week quality time with their children. Okay, so that's in America. Let's hope it's going a bit better here. But that's little. That's really little. And you know, when parents ask, what can I do with 5 minutes? The important thing is that in order for us to know what we can do with our kids in 5 minutes, is that we have to have spent enough time with them to actually know what's important to them and what they enjoy doing. We always use the analogy of fishing. If you have half an hour to go fishing, you need to know exactly where to throw in your line, and you need to know exactly what bait to use. And that's the same with our kids. We need to know, if we only have a few minutes, how are we going to really connect with them? And the only way that we're going to know that is by having spent enough time with them, quantity time, to know what is important to them. Our eldest is very competitive, so he likes playing games where he has a chance of winning and he can compete a bit. So when he was younger, we used to do these obstacle races for him, and then I would time him, because I'm not so high energy. I prefer sitting most of the time. And so I would sit and I would time him and I'd make these races. But now if I really want to connect with him, we just play some kind of game, whatever he chooses, snakes and ladders or Uno or whatever it is, because he likes that competition with a worthy opponent. And he doesn't particularly want to play with his sister because he's probably going to win. And then our middle child, he's much more creative and he likes to, bake something or do something creative or do an experiment. This takes a bit more time than some of the other things. But that's how I can connect with him. And then our youngest is very imaginative again. So she wants to play some other imaginative game. I'm usually the baby or the little girl. I used to be the little girl. Now this past week, I'm a baby. And I actually have to talk like a baby. Yeah, no, it doesn't work so well for me. But so then I ask if I can just be a little bit older so that I can talk. And then it's better. Okay, so we need to know what those things are for our kids. I just have to tell you the story. It's one of my favorites. A friend of mine, her daughter is also very active. And I don't know how many remember Heidi. Heidi van den Bergh. Okay, recently the movie came out, so some of you might know it. So anyway, her daughter loves Heidi, and she loves playing Heidi. And Heidi was also a very busy little girl. So now, but in this program, there's also a girl named Clara. And Clara is disabled, so she cannot walk. So my friend is Clara in the game, and she gets to lie on the couch all the time while her daughter is Heidi and runs around. So that's very creative. If you don't have a lot of energy, you just need to be a bit creative. Okay. Even if we just say to our kids that we are available now for a short amount of time, they have all our attention, we put our cell phone down, even that already half fills their tank because it communicates to them that we care about them enough to just put aside everything and spend some time with them. Okay. Have dinner together. Don't sit in front of the TV. Spend time together. Look in each other's eyes. Talk to each other. Ask questions. That's important, time together. Okay. And we never hear people saying on their deathbed that they wish they'd spent more time at work. People always say they wish they'd spent more time with their family or with their friends, whatever. And it's very easy for us to get caught up in what's happening now. Our kids are small. It's very, very easy for us to get that. And we have to keep bringing ourselves back to what is really important, what is eternal, and keep our focus on that. Okay. I have too much to say. All right. I'm going to go quickly to the last two. Okay, the next R is routine. And what this does is creates a predictable and understandable environment for our children. Okay, most of us will know how important routine is for small babies. It literally trains them neurologically. Okay, one of the first things that babies learn is cause and effect. So if I do this, then that happens. If I cry, my mom gives me milk. And if they have this, every day is different and there's no sequence of events, it actually takes them longer to learn those things, and it actually hampers their development. It slows it down. Okay, so we know that's important for babies. For toddlers, it's also very important because, first of all, it gives us many opportunities during the day to give them instructions and to expect them to obey. So it's very good for that kind of training. But what it also does is that the routine becomes the norm. Okay, so we're going to have supper. After supper, we bath and we put on our pajamas. Then we brush our teeth, then we read a book, and we pray, and we go to bed. Okay, so that is normal. Once they get used to that, there's far less resistance to what they need to do because that's just the norm. That's how it works. Some kids, doesn't happen overnight. It takes longer to teach them that, but the battle just becomes a lot less. And the more children you have, the more necessary routine becomes. Otherwise, it's just chaos. I heard a beautiful story on Focus on the Family once with a woman who had 5 kids, and every day there was a big fight about who was going to sit in the front seat. And one day she just lost it, and she said, "That's it. You're on Monday, you're on Tuesday, you're on Wednesday, you're on Thursday, you're on Friday." And there was never a fight again. So she just put a simple routine in place, which took away all the problems. Okay. For primary school kids, what the routine does is just helps them to remember their tasks. So they'll have a morning routine, They'll have a getting home from school routine. They'll have a homework routine. And that just helps them to remember what they want to do. For younger kids who can't read yet, a good idea is to have them draw little pictures of what they must do. Say the five things they must do in the morning. And then you'll say to them, just go and check your pictures and see if you've done everything. And then it helps them to remember that as well. And then for teenagers, we will use it to teach them priorities. So before you can go and spend time with your friends, you need to study for your test, which then helps them to find their own rhythm so that they can also fulfill their responsibilities. All right, and then the last one is rules. And just a reminder again, we're talking about the structure that we're providing for our kids to grow up against, okay? If these things are in place, it just makes our job so much easier, okay? And they can carry on by themselves almost. And there are certain positive expectations that are already in place, and we don't have to keep picking them up, okay? All right, so what rules do is it stops the trouble before it starts. So what we will usually advise parents to do is to have a family meeting with your kids. So you're not going to just say, okay, guys, we have now decided on these five rules and we are starting with them from today. Okay, because your kids are probably not going to like that very much. They normally think that rules are boring and that rules are there to spoil their fun. We want them to get buy-in. Okay, so we're going to sit down and we're going to have a discussion with them and we're going to say, you know, what are the things that make you feel sad or mad in the home? You know, like, when my sister comes and jumps on my bed all the time, or when my brother grabs things from me, and then we will talk about that and what kind of rules can we put in place. But what's important is that they must understand what the rules are there for. We speak about the umbrella rules. We actually have a kit there at the back as well. Rules are like this umbrella over us that protect us from the rain. And if we choose to step out from under the umbrella, then we're going to get wet. Okay. So they need to understand that those rules are there to protect everyone. We have a rule of respect in our home because that protects you and that protects me. If I can just hit you every time I get mad, then you're not going to feel safe. So that rule of respect is there to keep you safe and to keep me safe. And they must understand that that's what the rules are for. Okay. Okay, so if we approach the meeting and the rules in that way, then we have buy-in from our children. And they're in on it, and they're also excited because they realize the rules are there to benefit them. Okay. Just see what I want to mention. Okay, let me just mention the rules that we use. Evergreen Parenting, we use in our home as well. The first one is respect. Or we think of other people. And so we don't have to have rules like we don't hit and we don't bite and we don't. Those things are all included under respect, okay? And we need to talk to our children about that. Another rule that we have is that we look after our things and other people's things. We call it stewardship. We listen to our parents, and there's a time for everything. Okay, so as I said, those are overarching rules that apply to everything. Okay, and importantly, these rules are not children's rules. These rules are family rules. So they apply to us as parents as well. Okay, we also need to speak calmly to our kids if we expect them to speak calmly to us. And we can also give some thought as to how we will be held accountable as well for those rules. Hetty, for example, she was a shouting parent, and one day she decided this can't carry on. So she said to her children, if I shout at you, you don't have to listen to me. You can turn around and walk away. So first time she shouted, her son said to her, Mommy, I don't have to listen to you when you shout at me. And he turned around and walked away. And I'm not sure, but I think she was cured after that. I think she did it soon again. So maybe something like that can work for you as well. Okay. And when you make the rules, make sure it's not when you're all in a bad space, when everybody's fighting and everything's unhappy, because then it's obviously not going to go down well. Something like on a family night, perhaps, where everybody's happy and enjoying themselves, that will be a good environment to do that in. Okay, all right, so I just want to quickly summarize the five R's again. It's respect that we spoke about, space, time, human worth, possessions. There's rituals or traditions, roles, routine, and rules. Okay, so I really want to encourage you to go and have a look in your homes. What of these are in place and which are not? And which of them can be improved upon? Go and have a look at what your discipline situations are in the home, or your disciplinary problems maybe. And look at each one individually and just think, which of these, if I change them or if I put them in place or if I strengthen them, which one of these will help this problem? And I'm sure that you will be able to find something there. What I also always warn parents to do is, if you are going to make changes in your home, just warn your kids. Okay, we talk about putting on your indicator. When you're driving, you put on your indicator so that the guy behind you knows that you're going to turn. And we need to put on the indicator for our kids as well. You know, sit them down saying, from now on, you know, at nighttime after we've had supper, this is how things are going to happen. Okay, so from tonight or from tomorrow night, that's how we are going to do things. You might need to say, if you do it nicely, then we'll read an extra story. Or if you don't, this is going to happen. And it might take a while to get into that habit, but just warn your kids so that it's not a big surprise for them. Okay. And then, yeah, just lastly again, I'd really like to encourage you again to attend the parenting course. It's really, well, you can speak to the people that have attended it. For those who have already, you're also very welcome to come and sit in again. You don't have to pay again. We tell people that you have a season ticket. You have a season ticket to the parenting course. So please join us. Just contact me if you want to sit in on a specific session. You don't want to attend the whole course again. You're very welcome to do that as well, for a bit of a refresher. And as I said, I'll be at the table at the back if anyone would like to speak to me or ask me questions. I love talking about parenting. I love answering people's questions. So you're very, very welcome. And I just want to encourage each of you that God is really committed to your families. Sometimes it's really tough. Sometimes it goes better than others. But God is committed to our families. And He's committed to our children. And we are not expected to do this job on our own. He's with us and he helps us. Okay, let us just pray. Father God, we just really want to thank you for this morning, Lord. And we want to thank you, Father, that as I said now, you really are committed to us and to our families, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you have given us our children and you have given us to our children, Lord, and you are not confused, Father. We need them and they need us, Lord, and you have purposed for us to be together as a family. You are not confused, Lord. And Father, I just want to thank you for every parent that is here this morning listening. I want to thank you that you have called them, and I want to thank you that you have anointed them, Lord God, and that you have given them everything that they need to do this job well. And most importantly, Lord, you have given us your Spirit, Father. Thank you that you have given us your Spirit. And I just pray for each of us, Lord, that we will grow closer and closer to you, that we will grow more and more into Christ, Lord, who is already inside of us, Lord. I pray that you would make us sensitive, Lord, to your Spirit, that when we are busy with our kids, Lord, that we won't think that this is just the natural, this is just life, Lord, but that we will know that in that moment you are there with us, and that we will be able to hear your voice clearly, Lord, and that you will give us the wisdom that we need for that situation. Father, we recognize this morning that you never said that this life was going to be easy, Lord, and that's true of parenting as well, God. It is a difficult job, and it is hard work, and it takes a lot out of us, Lord, but at the same time, it is a privilege, Lord. You say in your word that children are a blessing from the Lord. Thank you that each one of our children that we have here, that are represented here this morning, they are a blessing, Father God, and this morning, we just declare that, and we receive each of them as a blessing from you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you have also called them. Thank you for the plans and the purposes that you have for each one of them, Lord. And thank you that you have called us to prepare them for those callings and for those purposes, Lord. Please help us, Father, to not lose sight of what is important, to not lose sight of what is eternal. Please help us, Lord. Please keep bringing us back, Father. Please expose the lies, Lord God. Open our eyes to see where Satan is trying to distract us, Lord, and trying to steal our time, Lord God, and trying to steal our relationship with our children. Please keep bringing us back, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, this morning I just really want to give